to the 4Jack Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the 4Jack Podcast, brought to you, as always, by our friends over at Jackson Labs, the brand consultants we trust to get our brand going in the right direction. Brand consultants that do the same for you. Go check them out, jacksonlabs.com. This pod is also brought to you by our friends at TaylorMade Golf. They've been hooking us up all season. Hell, we even got some more ammo coming because of the boys. Okay, maybe just me. Been spraying like a cat a little bit. Maybe not competitively, but everywhere else, sure. New lineup, Sim2, drivers, fairways, rescues, irons, everything you need to get dialed in. It can do it. They can do it for you. Go check them out. And last but not least, cover up our bill payments. The guys that just make us look really nice, spraying it or hitting pure, whatever it may be. Cricket Golf. I've said it once. I've said it again. I will say it again. They are my favorite polos to play in. It's like wearing a technical shirt, but it's cotton, and it's the best cotton you've probably worn in a while, and it doesn't look like your baggy cotton polo that your dad probably wears and goes well with his pleated khakis. But no, this is a better look. It's fresh out of Austin. A couple guys making it look real nice. Go check them out at Cricket Golf and order up something that'll make you look real nice out there. God, we have a lot to cover. Let's just talk to the boys real quick here first. Let's go out east. David, how are you?
Well, my hopes and dreams were shattered by Border Guard 17976.
Put him on blast.
Stanton, ruining my dreams. I was denied. My golf high-performance amateur event tomorrow is non-essential to the good folks of America. U.S. Mid-Am denied at the border. Could have spent $1,500 to fly to Buffalo, which is 40 minutes away, but decided to take my chances, deem myself a high-performance athlete. Jimmy, or whatever his name was, Stanson, didn't agree with my high-performance case, I guess we'll say. So denied, 7 hours in the car, happy to be on the pod, happy to recap everything. Life sucks.
Well, hopefully we can just recharge your day here after 7 hours of driving and getting denied. Let's go over to another high-powered performer. A guy who really just, I thought he was going to take all of our money on the Friday night game. Parks, what's happening after this guy blows us out of the water in the first couple holes?
Gentlemen, what's happening? Yeah, Friday was fun, actually. A little heavy in the sauce, but the golf was good. Hopefully we figure some things out for upcoming Vancouver Open Pro-Am, Vancouver Open. Shout out to the VGT. That's going to be a fun one. Apparently I have the Maui Gym guys for my Pro-Am group, so that's going to be good times. Real quick, shout out to Cricket. Saw that post David Spade on the golf course of Rolling Hills with Mr. Tiger Woods. That's pretty dope little piece of promo material. So big shout out to Cricket. I don't know about the khaki pants comment earlier, but
it's just a better piece of material.
Definitely a level up.
Yeah. And I one thing I got to say, because you did play in a Pro-Am this week out at, before I handed over to Tom, but you played out at Westwood Plateau. I actually met a guy yesterday at Fraserview that played in the same event. And I was like, was it like as bad as what other guys said? He's like, I've played there a bunch of times in my life, dude. That is the driest it's ever been and the hardest I've ever seen that golf course. It was damn near impossible. So shout out to the guys who were blocking it left and right and X with hybrid from 350.
I got to say one thing real quick, though. It actually is a pretty cool layout. Like, honestly, if it was lush and the ball was holding fairways and stuff, it would have been better, obviously. But, yeah, really neat property and got to get the team out there. So, great job, Westwood Plateau, obviously, VGT. Best greens I've putted on probably in the last couple of years. They were phenomenal.
Like that.
So they're doing something right out there.
Beautiful. And last but not least, Tombo, how are you, my man?
Good, boys. Great to see all of you. David, I think that Border Guard just doesn't know his golf and realizes that some people just peak a little later in life, right? That's a bunch of BS. And I think Cricket has some technical shirts, do they not? So they got that soft cotton and...
I only rock the cotton. That's where the players
I talked to
were.
Billy this week, guys, from Cricket, their co-founder. He told me they're coming at Millar. Their technical stuff moving into 2022, on point. Like,
I've seen the drops too. I can back that statement up. It looks like some pretty cool stuff. I gotta say, it was hotter than hot. Must have been 40 at Westwood Plateau when I wore the Cricket cotton shirt and my boobs were showing on the putting green.
This guy goes over even teed off shirt.
Cotton not great. Cricket real nice. Made my gave myself a little bit of a lift there, so that's a little enhancement's nice. But cotton on a sweaty day, not good. Not good at all.
Nice contour.
Need that tactical gear for sure. Yeah, moisture wicking. 2.0.
Even at the Friday game, like before we kind of dive into some tour talk. I mean, Parks. We pull up. It's 36 degrees out, and it's like the heaviest day of smoke that Vancouver has seen in the of the year. It like the sun was like, you know, bright orange, like red.
A Volvic golf ball, baby.
Yeah, it looked like a Volvic golf ball, and we get to there, and I'm like, I'm sweating before I even got out of the car. And I like go inside, change my shirt, come out. Parks is like, "You want balls?" I'm like, "For what?" "Well, like to practice, to warm up." I'm like, "Warm up?" I'm like, I'm 40 degrees right now.
Warm.
And I'm like, "All right, whatever. I'll hit half a bucket." I had underboob sweat like that went all the way down to my belly button. Like I'm like, "This is ridiculous." I'm like, "Why am I doing this?" Like it was so hot.
She was hot.
Yeah, it was good fun time. Though.
Hell yeah. I gotta say that was one of the best little nights of golf out there. I'm not going to explain exactly why, but aside from the barefoot, we played barefoot, so that was nice to just feel the grass, get in the bunkers, feel that sand. It's just pure deliciousness. But then as we went along and things got a little crazy, we started making up some fun games for the boys out there on the course and like finished up. This is, wedge on a par 4. Me and Steve, he was playing hybrid, like just doing the weirdest things, making little par 3s out of tee boxes back to the greens. I shouldn't even say that, but that's...
How about the one I jugged one-handed from off the green when I called it? I was like, if I jugged this is a 2. One hopping in.
Were you guys all barefoot?
Yeah.
Or just... Yeah.
And you know what the worst part was? I forgot to wash my feet when I got home and went to bed and just like woke up in the morning. I was like looking at my bed. I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, you're an idiot. Like... Pops, hey. Well, let's
had nothing to do with that or alcohol.
Had nothing to do with it. No, nothing, it was just hot.
The bed.
Just looking to get grounded. Okay, speaking of a guy that got grounded today. No, he didn't get grounded at all. It was just a crazy day. Let's go to the Wyndham first. God, I gotta say, I think we were all hoping for Roger Sloan. I mean, Canadian boy played unbelievable throughout the weekend. Might have given one of my favorite post-round interviews of the year yesterday on PGA Tour Radio when he started talking. They're like, so, like, you know, what kind of positive can you take from your game? He's like, I don't know, man. Bogey-free 66 is a pretty good positive, isn't it? Let's go do it again tomorrow. And, like, and in that, like, hockey boy Canadian voice, I'm like, oh, man, I like you. Like, it's a good interview. But unfortunately, he did not pick up the win in the six-way playoff. Kevin Kisner took it down with a birdie on the second. It was chaos. But let's start with you, David. Actually, you probably didn't get to see too much.
I did not.
Dealing with the border guards.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's go.
In fairness, the back room had on where the supervisors, they were watching the golf. So I did see that Kiz won. But, you know, obviously, at Wheels Up, Kisner was a big ambassador for the company. You know, he's obviously has got some famous one-liners and some of the pro-am stuff that he's participated in. But listen, his agent came to us when he was really a nobody and said, this kid's going to just go out there and win. He's going to shoot, you know, 69 every time he tees it up. He's not going to win 10 times a year, but he might win once or twice. And, you know, doesn't get much better than Kiz from a human perspective. Mm-hmm. You know, sponsors love him. And ultimately, his golf game is pretty consistent. And, you know, week in and week out, he just does what he does and knows where his strengths and weaknesses are, which a lot of golfers, you know, obviously can't identify. So he knows what he's good at. He knows he's not going to win, you know, US Opens at 7,600 yards, but he knows he can win down the road from where he lives in Aiken at a little place called Augusta. So he tees it up with really one major a year and maybe a PGA or the odd one. So Kiz is pretty solid.
And it certainly wasn't a hobby for him today. Parks, what was your take on it today?
Well, he's, what is he, 1-for-6 now in playoffs? So that's a huge little box to check. I would have to say a little disappointing not to see Adam Scott take it down. Would have been nice to see him back on top. Obviously, Roger Sloan, would have been the storyline that we as Canadians wanted to see come to fruition. But I don't mind Kiz taking a W down. Like David said, you know, he's just, he seems like salt of the earth kind of guy, straight shooter. He's well known in social media for his one-liners, like David alluded to. But I'm just, it's exciting to see him sort of pick it up close to the playoffs and then heading into a Ryder Cup. That's going to be interesting when they announce that team.
I agree. And just kind of touch on what you did say there with Adam Scott. Like, for one, it's always nice getting to watch Adam Scott play well, because I feel like we're kind of, I don't know, maybe it's just my own opinion, but I feel like we're running out of time with him. Like, we've seen him for so long and he just doesn't seem to be producing that much. Like, since he won the Masters, like, he hasn't done a whole lot. Like, he won at Riv, but like, or, you know, gave a run at Riv, but, you know, he hasn't done that much. But that putt that he missed on the playoff, this is as per PGA Tour. The guy was, throughout the whole week, going into that putt, he was 53 for 53 for inside 5 feet. That put him to 53 insane. And 54.
Adam Scott was?
Yeah.
Wow.
Throughout the week.
Wow, that is,
how does he not win? So, like, Russ Henley actually should have won it. Had a putt, didn't go in the hole, lipped, and then he ended up missing. So, he, you know, like, heartbreaking to have to lead the whole tournament and then end up faltering on the final hole, 72nd hole of the tournament. But aside from that, I think, yeah, the Adam Scott story, a little disappointing. But, man, that putter, I just, every time I see that, it just scares me.
It was sick to see Brandon Grace make that bomb to get into that playoff on 18. Like, that was, I was listening, and they were 30-footer. Yeah, huge putt. That guy is just, I feel like this is like a coming out year for him. Like, the last couple years, he's just been really, really consistent. Not in, like, I mean, he did shoot 62 in a major, but other than that, like, he's just been really consistent on weekends. Like, not in huge events, but, like, those sneaky ones where you have a decent field. He kind of just pops out of nowhere, and you're like, jeez, I forgot about this guy. Like, kind of the same with Henley.
His facial hair is freakishly perfect around his eyes. It's, like, almost like he's wearing a mask.
Little raccoon.
Yeah, like, it's, he looks like a koala or, like, a trash panda. Something from South Africa.
That's perfectly shaped, and I wonder how high up his facial hair is growing. Like,
right, it's like there, right to the bottom of his eyes. It's nuts, right?
You gotta trim that down to get it all spread out,
so you can see.
How did our boy Kevin Na do? We haven't heard much about him.
Na was in the playoff.
He was in there. He made some big putts coming down the stretch. Kenny wasn't on his bag either. I don't know who that was.
I did not even notice that, to be honest.
Yeah, I saw that. I was a little disappointed. I was going to text Kenny, but I was like, hey, wait a minute. That's not Kenny.
A bit strange.
In the wound right now.
I clearly missed a lot.
Oh, my God. They killed Kenny.
Look at the score. So there's how many man playoffs? Six?
Six.
Six man playoffs.
And Henley missed that putt on 18 to get into it.
Could have been a seven man. Could have been a history maker. So go to PGA Memes Instagram page after. There's a nice little meme about the playoff. You guys will enjoy that.
But, I mean, the guy, I don't know if you listened to what he was talking about earlier. There was a tweet that went out, and it was kind of after, let's say after Thursday, because he just made a bunch of putts. And there was a time there when Henley, like, in the early part of his career, he wasn't a great ball striker, but, like, I think at one point he was, like, over, like, 170th in ball striking. But he was always in the top 10 or even, like, top 3 in putting. I think one year he was the best.
He won his first event on the PGA Tour, man.
He went back to back.
With this putter.
Yeah.
It was insane. I watched it. Yeah. I followed him on when he played Webb or Nationwide.
Yeah. Like, and, like,
he's ridiculously good with a putter. Pop stroke, but, like, crazy.
He has alarms that go off every single day saying you're the best putter in the world on his phone. Like, he literally has, I think it's like 8:15 in the morning or 10:15 in the morning. He has an alarm that goes off. You're the best putter in the world. Like, he lives and dies by that mantra.
That's
not work today.
Serial killer material right
now. I need that alarm to go off at the border. The that would qualify me as a high performance athlete.
You're the most illegal Canadian trying to enter the U.S. at 8:15.
Outside, you're just like setting an alarm real quick here, like best putter in the world.
Oh, look, my alarm.
Actually,
my alarm
in fairness, alarm. I could have told them. You know, I know Russell Henley back in the day. We were all Nike guys together. I was playing on some mini tour, and he was playing on the PGA Tour.
There you go.
Nice to see Hadwin and
Taylor.
Multiple time. Yeah.
Great. Again, yeah, Sneaky. It's good for Hads. So yeah, Sloan gets into the playoffs now. That's huge for him because he wasn't.
Okay.
Looks like Kiz gets into the tour championship potentially. Puts him in 29. Does
Kiz a Ryder Cup spot or no?
We'll get into that in a sec. He needs a pick.
He needs a pick. He's not going to get it on points, but maybe.
Fowler's
jockeying for one, but
no.
I think he's been just garbage. So
I'd give that guy a mic. He can have a radio. I'll let him walk around.
Assistant captain's good. He'd hurt the team. I think maybe he rallies, but like, there's other people more deserving.
Let's go into some Ryder talk in a sec. I just want to cover up a couple things with the Wyndham. Speaking of the playoffs that will be starting next week, there was a lot of jockeying for position throughout this week, but the one that I think stood out the most, obviously Chess and Hadley making that ace, but then Rose missing that 3-footer on the last to finish 1 point out to finish 126th. And he could have still got in if there was a couple other things that happened, didn't. But with Hadley's ace, he got in at 125 by the 1 point and secured his tour card. So, like, what a week. I mean, Team Rose has had it. Go on, man. Like, take your fall off. You're fine now. But give it to Hadley. You know, that's huge for him. And he was bawling in his interview. And, like, that's an emotional moment. That's something that means something. I don't care about watching Justin Rose. It's worth $100 million.
Yeah, nice to see him get in. But he sure dumped his nuts on the Palmetto. So, I mean, I guess it's a little bit of redemption song. But disappointing because Chesson was like a force to be reckoned with, came out on the PGA Tour firing, won the, you know, the B-side tournament the 1 year, and then has not really done much since. So maybe this is his resurgence.
Did Tom, I'm going to ask you this, like, and maybe just because I don't think either one of us could ever do this. When he made that ace today and the way he jumped up, like his legs were like, I don't even understand how he did it. It's like his knees were in, but his feet were damn near parallel with the ground. And I was like, other than Tony Finau jumping when he made that ace at Augusta and breaking his ankle or rolling it, that might have been one of the most jacked up ace celebrations I've ever seen, on tour at least.
What angle did you see this jump from? Like a side angle or behind. A front angle?
Behind. I think really you just set an alarm every day and tell yourself you have the best hops on the PGA Tour, and that's what makes it happen.
It was impressive, wasn't it?
I think that is not saying you're the best hops, because like if you're hopping like that, you're kind of hopping like a numpty. But
it was
like
pretty high.
It was like a 10-year-old girl jumping for something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was really awkward.
Kicking the feet out to the side and the knees close together. Like you just like got a kiss on the cheek from the boy you like at the school dance, right?
It's awesome because he got caught on a hop mic too. And you just hear this, let's fucking go.
Yeah.
Like he was jacked. Like that's sweet.
Sure.
Like I was a big fan of that. Okay, well, let's. I don't think we really need to cover too much of the Wyndham. I don't have that much more to cover with it, but we'll go into some Ryder Cup before we go on to the amateur, because this was a huge weekend, and it was. I'd like to talk about that a bit. With this, now, obviously, it's any Ryder Cup week. Anytime someone wins, it's like, oh my gosh, should he be on the team? Okay, Kevin Kisner. Let's dive into this. Sure, team guy. Everybody loves him. But as David alluded to earlier, is that a golf course for him? Whistling Straits? No. It's going to be 75, 76, 7,700 yards. Probably windy. It's the fall. I can't see why they would pick him. I don't know. We'll start with you, David.
I jumped in. Captain can obviously move the yardages around. They can do a lot of things. So they could set up the golf course for round two in the afternoon if he's going to play. I think anything under 7,200 yards at Whistling Straight, I think Kiz would be, you know, paired with some bomber or something like that. I think he'd be a great asset. That said, you look at the four or five guys trending. You know, there's some players out there that, you know, might be a little bit more well-suited for that golf course, but at the same time, you know, the captain could adjust the golf course and, you know, he'll just par you to death or hybrid you to death and match play and know, his record's still very good in match play. So that'll be interesting. It's kind of an interesting next 3 weeks, right? You kind of look at that team and there's a bunch of young guys, but there's also a bunch of guys that have established themselves, but a bunch of guys like Speed that made comebacks and big, you know, pushes to get on this team too. So it's going to be interesting in the next few weeks.
It's going to be all the Stallions, obviously. Like everybody that's been trending this year is obviously going to get a spot. It's going to be hard to, as a captain, to pick those guys. I, you know, like, who do you go with, really? Do you go with the Bomber? Do you go with somebody that's been playing consistent? Do you go with the tactician? Like, what kind of gaps are you looking to fill? I guess that's what we'll get some insight into here in the next couple of weeks once the playoffs are, you know, closing out on the Tour Championship.
Right. So let's go over that then really quickly as you guys are talking. But there, if you're looking at the top eight right now, which, yeah, I don't even know how.
Patrick Reed is number eight.
Yeah, he'll be there.
Number nine.
Right, he's now a Ryder Cup guy, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, you have the guys that are locked up right now: Morikawa, Johnson, DeChambeau, Koepka, JT. Which he's good for that event, but has not played great golf. Xander, of course,
Spieth,
and English. Mm-hmm. Sitting outside of that, like for myself, I mean, I would get rid of Harris English. I put Berger in there before English.
Willie Harris is playing? No way.
Oh, he's playing so good. A win and like sneaky top fives.
Like team hits it consistent, like hits it wall straight. Doesn't do a lot of things spectacular, but
I'd take Webb over everyone in that group, to be honest. Like everyone after nine. Or Scotty Scheffler.
Webb in the Wyndham Championship or Webb in the Ryder Cup?
He's been good in both. Been great in both, to be honest. Fair. Like his record is ridiculous.
Patrick Cantlay out there though a little bit, like the assassin. Interesting to see how he
hasn't done anything lately. Like it's one of those things where it's like, what have you done for me lately? He has played well, obviously, but nothing, no fireworks as of late. But I mean, the tour, like the playoffs, will really, I think, determine those spots for everybody for sure. Yeah,
because it is very especially when you look at Kisner. Look at the guys that are in front of him. He might have moved up. Maybe this isn't updated yet, and he might be more in contention now. But if you go straight above him up, you're looking Sam Burns, Billy Horschel, Jason Kokrak, Scheffler, Simpson, Finau, Cantlay, Berger, Reed. I don't know, man. Like, are you jumping for Kiz over those other guys?
No, but if he plays well in the next event, two events, for sure I'm going to look at him, seriously.
Yeah, because if he gets hot, he's great. We've seen it. And like David said earlier, he's great at match play. So I don't know. I think that would be very interesting and he would pair up very well. And yeah, guys like him. Do we want to talk about some good match play that went on throughout the weekend? Talk about the amateur before we move on. Anybody got
it? Yeah, absolutely. I didn't catch much of it, but I'd love to hear a little recap.
I didn't see diddly squat, so you're just educating me on all things amateur this week.
Oh, you pays your segment.
I'm yeah. in on it because, like, for one, love watching the amateur. USGA does a good job of covering it, even on YouTube, because you know what? You can at least watch. They show basically every shot without all the filler. It's really nice to watch it, especially this year. Oakmont, it's post-tree removal. Like, in the last, like, what was it, 15 years? No, not even 15 years. I think it was 10 years. They've removed, like, 15,000 trees, and it was such a treat. It was almost comical watching where these guys were hitting balls, like off the tee, like playing down different holes. Like Travis Vick, like this is a crazy story actually. So his uncle was the guy that was, or grandfather was, the influential figure in the Oakmont Country Club's famous and contentious tree removal era. So he knew where to go. He knew these lines. Like, these lines were so ridiculous. And I just find it very amazing watching amateurs, especially nowadays, that, like, they bomb it. Like, that one, I think it was the third hole, it's like 312. Like, guys are just sticking it on some of the hardest greens America has to offer. Yeah, it got a bunch of rain, but, like, 312 carry driver to, like, 12 feet, 10 feet, you're like, that is freaking nuts. Like, these kids are so good. And there was some heavy-duty matches. So, obviously, James Pyatt come out with the win today over Austin Greaser. Shout out to Austin Greaser, because his match against Vic yesterday was the best because that
did it. Wait, did it get a little greasy?
Oh, very gross. Greaser has some swag, man. That guy walks with like long cock mentality.
BDD, buddy.
Yeah, it was impressive.
Big dog energy.
Sick golf course to watch. And James Pyatt, this is an interesting, this is as per Justin Ray. The amateur has been played since 1895. He is the first to win it. First player to win from Michigan. Interesting really? Little stat. Interesting. Did not know that, but interesting little stat.
Very interesting.
Big putt for him. Yeah, that's a master's exemption. That's a bunch of stuff. Like, that's huge.
Kid looks
$1 million.
Good.
$1 million sponsorship deal right out of the gate.
Easily. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Massive. Massive, massive, massive.
I mean, you look at some of the U.S. amateurs in the previous years. I mean, even look at Bryson. I mean, that wasn't that long ago that he won that. And you're like, whoa. I mean,
he was 170 pounds, 6'3".
Yeah.
What do you mean?
James Pyatt's like buck 40.
One thing Pyatt didn't do was go out and fucking steal it today, though, like our buddy Doug Barron did on the Champions Tour. That was the best post-round interview ever. How jacked was that guy? Just crazy.
I want to see more of that. And that's the only Canadian stop on the Champions Tour, which is sweet. Canyon, I'm sure boys put on a hell of a show out there. You played that golf course, Parks.
Yeah. Like, Maddie Freeman's the pro. Yeah. Been there for 10 years now, I think.
I never got down there.
Yeah, great golf course. Lots of fun. One of the premier private clubs in Calgary. It's kind of in this like old Jewish neighborhood, pretty high end, obviously. It's, yeah, fantastic facility. Range is really weird. It's this big, massive bowl. Yeah, great property. I guess this was the first time Mike Weir actually committed to the event. So had a huge gallery following Mike today. Little disappointing for me knowing Steve Flesh to see him falter, but disappointing that he didn't play aggressive and made a bogey on the short par three and then kind of gave it away. But yeah, always fun to see the Champions Tour come to Canada. It's unfortunate they're not coming out to the West Coast this year, but yeah, good for growing the game. Good for the Shaw Charity Classic. Good for that organization. So really good.
Yeah. Shout out to Maddie Freeman, those boys for hosting probably another great event, I'm sure. And yeah. I'm sure they would have had some nice, they would have had fans as well as Alberta's kind of opened up everything. I mean, geez, the stand-up show in Edmonton the other day that was packed. So outdoor, but still.
Mm-hmm. You did see a little bit of that oddly enough. And they were like 5-6 deep and there was a lot of people out there. It was good to, nice to see.
Yep.
I also noticed Weir's new putter, which is like a throwback Scotty blade almost. Like very mm-hmm. bizarre, but I thought mm-hmm. that was interesting.
Like
mm-hmm.
that.
So, yeah, just interesting little tidbit there.
Oh, man, like I that.
Lost my thought there, but
I'm just amazed at how much like you guys, how much golf there was and how little I watched this week. Like to be quite honest, like I once we took our shoes off in Mayfair Lakes on Friday, I got connected to the ground. I just forgot. Yeah, like nothing.
I checked out.
How is the beach? Let's talk about West Van or whatever beach you go to. How is the beach?
Were you at the beach this weekend, Tomo?
No, actually, I didn't end up at the beach, but where I did end up was at Stanley Park Pigeon Putt. And that was nice. Working on a little wedge game.
Did you go with the lady?
Did not go with the lady. Went with a good friend of the show, Juan Valdez, and his buddy, who's actually from Toronto, David. He's a cool dude.
Best Colombian coffee you've ever tasted.
I just figured out who that guy was when Tom showed me. I was like, who the fuck's Juan Valdez?
I had to Google it and show Tom. I'm like, this guy?
Yeah. Well, the funny thing about that was like when I was like, yeah, I got to go hang out with my buddy Juan. And you're like, yeah, Juan Valdez. And I'm like, yeah, exactly. Right. Like,
how'd you know?
I don't remember telling you his last name. No. He's like, no, it's like the coffee guy. And I'm like, well, that's weird because that's my buddy's last name.
I was like, it can't be from the long line of Colombian coffee makers, the Valdez family. Yeah, right.
Honestly, like I enjoy going down there because there's usually like a 15 to 20 person line to get onto the pigeon putt. And by the end of like the time I make it to the first tee, like we got 20 more people that know about the Four Jack pod. So it's it's the thing I do, just, you know, go get involved with the community, try to break apart the old pigeon putt and have a good time, drink some Stanley Park Brewing beers that you buy as a six pack across the street, which is kind of nice.
Nice, like that.
That's it. No pro golf for me. I'm just sad David couldn't get into America. Now I'm just, we're racking my brain as the only American here on how we get the boys down there.
We got to find a...
Wheels up.
Yeah, a plane with an empty shell or something. Hollow bottom, hollow bottom seats.
There was a lot of things that were going through my head. Spending $4,000 to go shoot 80 at the U.S. Mid-Am qualifier because the stress, not so much.
Yeah,
I could have guaranteed myself a 65, maybe.
Yeah.
Now, it was Craigburn, great golf course, you know, historical Buffalo Country Club, like very awesome golf course. So that was kind of cool, but still couldn't justify the PGA for 6 minutes. But there was a guy walking across the border with his golf bag.
Shut up.
I said, what are you doing? And he said, he's just coming back from a golf tournament. And I took a picture, then I got in trouble. So you can walk across the border, but you cannot drive.
What?
America.
You can walk. So there's a kid. I have the picture. I'll send it to you. You can walk across the border. You stand at the border gate. You declare yourself. You cannot physically drive. None of this makes any sense to me. At that point, it was like I just had to bite my tongue because there was the blood was boiling a little
bit. Yeah, you don't want to dig that.
Too much at stake on the professional side, work-wise, to be banned from America. So.
Yeah, don't do that.
Took my lumps. We got to the border. The guy said, "How long you been in the country?" I said, 28 minutes. What did you buy? I said, I got denied. Non-essential. He goes, so you didn't even go? He goes, well, you can fly. I said, yeah. He goes, what were you going for? I said, the U.S. Mid-Am qualifier. He goes, oh, there was a bunch of guys that played a practice round that crossed yesterday. I'm like,
oh, my God. Wait,
they crossed and came back? So, anyways, it wasn't my day. I probably would have shot 65 tomorrow, so.
Yeah,
let's just go with that. I pretty much won. I'm the medalist at Craigburn tomorrow.
I'm playing for you this week, buddy. I'll either post it in the Pro-Am or I'll post it in the Van Open for you.
I might tip it at 8 a.m. tomorrow. Just pretend I'm in the Mid-Am and send you guys my scores. That's my plan tomorrow.
Mail in your scorecard to them and say, hey, I tried to enter, but I was denied. So I'm just...
So please accept this.
I'm not a high-performance athlete anymore. I'm 40 and fat.
Yeah, that's discrepant as far as I'm concerned.
Two things we need to touch on here. Sven baby PJ Tour bound again. So Adam Svensson, VGT graduate, Vancouver boy. That's a big shout out to him. Actually was talking to Austin from Climb Ladders from the teaching center. Austin bagged for him for a long, long time and said anytime we want Svenny on the show, he's gonna dial that up for us. So
Maybe
this is a good time to do that. Second thing. The PGA Tour Canada kicks off this week at Osprey Valley.
Second event.
Is it second event?
Third event, maybe.
Oh, sorry, third event. But it kicks off in Toronto this week. There we go. Fail.
I also want to shout out one other guy that's making the tour, Nick Hardy. Love to see that guy. That guy is like...
He's had a
very impressive year. Out of Chicago...
Explain to us who Nick Hardy is.
Please. Yeah, talk to us about Nick Hardy.
I think Nick Hardy won his first Korn Ferry Tour event. Like, just went out there and took it and has played phenomenal golf all season. Like, it'd be interesting to watch that guy on the PGA Tour because he was, like, a highly decorated Illinois golfer. Like, it'll be sweet.
Lexi's little brother, too. Go ahead.
He's, like, in his, like, early 30s, like he's not
fresh out of college.
Ah,
yeah, okay. Young kid.
There is a kid right now, and you know, I'm not saying this because he's a cricket ambassador, but like Brendan Leonard, what he's doing right now, anywhere in golf, he'd be on the PGA Tour making the scores he's shooting right now. Like, he finished second of the Canada Cup, which is out in Quebec. He won on PGA Tour Canada last week. I think he's won 8 times in 12 events.
What did he shoot at Canada Cup? 16, 17?
He shot 17. He went for the green on 18 to get in a playoff and just missed the putt. So, listen, you know, but he's getting his Kobe shot tomorrow. He's a little bummed out about that going into this week. But, listen, he's obviously point leader of Toronto Players Tour. He's point leader of Great Lakes Tour. He's point leader of PGA Tour McKenzie. Like, you know, he's just been playing some unbelievable golf. And
maybe we should have a chat with him and see what his recipe for success is. See what kind of alarms he has set on his phone.
You are a high performance athlete.
You are allowed in the U.S. You are allowed in the U.S.
I'm just interested, Parksy, what your alarm is going to be this week, gearing up for the Vancouver Open.
Just go out and fucking take it. 8:15.
Hey, luckily for you, you got the best loop on the bag on Sunday at the View. I'll tell you where to go.
I'm just wondering where his loop's going to be, where his loop is Friday and Saturday.
Doesn't matter, man.
Shoeless on a dirty bed.
So,
it doesn't matter, man. I'll be there Sunday. That's all that matters.
Well, let's hope. Parks got to make the cut first, but cut to 50 or 60% of the field.
We should really go play Langara as you've never been there. And I'll be honest, man, I've played 9 there. You better, like, that's a course that you're going to have to see, because that's like one that you really have to like change what your game plan is, because it's wonky.
I was thinking about going hitter, tomorrow night to play.
We have pods, but if we could, I'm in. Because it's
we are not canceling on our boy from Notre Dame. No.
No, you guys don't have to cancel anything.
Langara is like, it's a fantastic golf course. Like, truly, it's weird though. Like, for a long hitter, like, yeah, that'd be a very interesting test for your Parks. Like,
leave the driver. Like, if I hit my driver the way I did on Friday night,
I don't think there's a single hole that you'd need driver out there.
No, that's what I was exactly like. If I hit irons off the tees all day, which nobody likes to do that, but realistically, keep the ball in front of you, you can score, right?
Yeah.
My wedges are good, my putting's good, so we'll see.
So as we're on this topic of high amateur ranking golf, and I mean, you're playing professional side, but VGT, Van Open, and all these like big mid-am events. And we just had the U.S. Amateur at probably, one of, if not America's greatest golf courses. Like, overall, Oakmont is, it's a pinnacle course. If you were to look at Canada, and you can't, I'm not going to say for the whole country, because they're all going to be out east. Even if you just did an east and a west, like, what would be those golf courses that you would put on the pedestal as the nation's greatest golf courses? Obviously out east, David, I'm going to leave that to you, and I'm pretty sure I know the answer.
I have a lot of insight on this because I've spent a little bit of time in the Pittsburgh area at Oakmont, wheels up, back in that day. I was actually on the range that whole week. And is it Austin Ryan? He was a young kid coming up from Canada, but grew up in Texas. But anyways, that whole kind of...
This week? Austin Greaser?
No, Austin. Oh. Maybe it's not Austin Ryan. Austin something. Someone will correct me. But Oakmont is spectacular. And I would say it's probably not the best golf course on Pittsburgh. People will say that the Field Club is better.
La Trobe, go across the highway.
They say like Laurel Valley, La Trobe. There's some serious golf courses in that little area, but obviously like when you look at that kind of corridor, it's obviously St. George's, Westmount, Toronto Golf, like it's the same sort of, Hamilton. But I would say Oakmont and Hamilton, there's a lot of similarities.
Okay.
Just with like, blue collar town, Pittsburgh, the downtown corridor, and just there's a lot of similarities to Hamilton Golf Club. But that whole area is just filled with spectacular golf.
Yeah.
Also kind of interesting that Hamilton has the same colors as the Steelers.
Tie cats. Yeah. Good call. Yeah. Like that.
Hamilton is I grew up just about 30 minutes from Hamilton, and it's always been a blue collar town, but it is like the new hipster place to be, restaurants. Like, it's going through a massive resurgence right now. And we have some friends that just bought a house there, and they call it Hamilboo because, like, down near the lake, I don't really see it, but it sort of feels like Malibu in a weird way. It's Hamilton's got this weird little thing, but anyways,
they're calling it the Boo.
The Boo, they call it the Boo. And like, if you saw these pictures, you'll actually think they're in Malibu. And on the other side, it's like Steel Factory, and it's pretty scuzzy.
Just don't look behind you.
I've been obsessed with like the architecture of Hamilton and everything like that. But anyways, Oakmont and like that whole corridor in Pittsburgh, how it's kind of, it's not downtown Pittsburgh. Hamilton Golf Club's kind of in Ancaster. People get all bent out of shape. Well, it's not the Hamilton Golf Club, it's the Ancaster Club, whatever. But I would say like Oakmont, Pittsburgh downtown, the Field Club's by far a more superior, more elite golf club.
But for a championship venue, Oakmont has been so high on that list forever.
Yeah. But sorry, and to go, like, I would say Hamilton would be that venue.
Definitely.
If you're asking your original question.
Yeah.
You know, it would be Hamilton in my comparison. Because St. George's is great, but it's not as grand.
Yes.
You know, Oakmont is like a – it is designed to have U.S. Opens and – you know, Hamilton should have the Canadian Open every year.
You wouldn't put the Abbey up there.
I won't put, no, not. Well, it was designed to host the Canadian Open, but I think if you're talking,
it's done,
you know,
now.
What compares to, you know, it's like saying TPC Sawgrass is a great golf course. I'd say Glen Abbey is a great golf course, but it's not Oakmont or it's not Hamilton, yeah, right?
Exactly. So, well, okay, let's move out west.
What about West Pays? I'd like your take on this.
Mine.
Yeah. Where would you put it?
I don't know. Like, what would you put as your pedestal golf course for the West? For say, if it was, I think it would have to be in Vancouver. But like Shaughnessy, I'd probably put up there, I guess, because it has hosted big events. But like, I don't know.
Shaughnessy's like the Mayfair though, with bigger trees. So put that into perspective. Mayfair, like the flower in Edmonton.
Yeah,
it's like that. It's not grandiose. It's not a huge property. It's got some great views, got some short holes. Obviously, take nothing away from it. It's an amazing golf course, but it's not, I don't know. It doesn't have options like some of these other clubs do. I don't know if there's really anything that's probably amazing out west.
JPL.
JPL, but JPL is different. JPL definitely could be, but again, that's the same situation as Glen Abbey, essentially, because you're looking at another Stanley Thompson track that, it essentially, like, it's beautiful, it's great, but it's dated for championship play.
True.
It's too short, it's too open. But if you're looking like true test of golf, like, I guess Glencoe could be, Calgary Country Club probably at one point as well, another Stanley Thompson. But like in the Vancouver area, there's nothing like Northview, I guess, used to be that when it had the Vancouver Open or Air Canada Championship. But there's probably some courses that we're missing. Like, I'm sure there is. Predator used to hold skins games. You remember when they used to have those telescopes? Actually, this is a deep cut. I want to say the first time that Predator held a skins game might have been presented by Export A.
Wow.
It's like, I feel like it might have been. Like, that was when... Who else used to have the Des Mauriers Classic? Because that was a Canadian Tour event.
Yeah, I remember that.
Like, Westbound is Des Mauriers.
I'm gonna throw this out.
There you go. Yeah.
What about this is a weird cut for sure. Could be good, could be bad at the old Northern Bear if 10 Green was in shape.
You want my opinion?
Sure.
If it was obviously 15 minutes closer to town, it would be the venue.
There's nowhere for fans though at the Bear. That's
what I mean.
Problem.
Well, there's place for fans on some holes.
A few holes, yeah. You got some surrounds, but there's nowhere. I guess they could walk the cart past, maybe. Yeah. That would be the only way to do it. But
layout-wise,
probably my favorite golf course in Alberta right there.
I might go as far as saying it's probably one of my favorite golf courses in Western Canada.
It's got the range. It's got the practice greens. It's got, you know what I mean? It's got the clubhouse. It's got the facility.
The layout.
Parking.
So I gotta jump in because I'm just on Google here and my mind's a little blown. So the Cricket Club in Pittsburgh is one of the coolest golf clubs I've ever been to. And it's according to this little study, it's the number 22 golf course in the greater Pittsburgh area.
Isn't there a Cricket Club in Philly as well?
Yeah, so they've combined Pittsburgh and Philly together. But look at these golf courses. Oakmont, Marion, Aromna, Cricket Club, Laurel Valley, Fox Chapel, Huntington, Applebrook, Farmington, Philadelphia Country Club, St. Clair, Rolling Hills. Like, it just keeps going on.
Rolling Hills is in there. I like that.
Like Latrobe, White Valley. Like, those are like 30 of the top, well, the highlighted ones. So there's 12 of the top 100 within an hour of Oakmont.
Whoa, like Porg was saying the other day, he's like, the Northeast is hands down still his favorite place for golf in maybe the world, certainly America.
So would any, like, the West fan, like, Kitsilano, or not Kitsilano, Capitano,
Gray?
Like, Point Grey, like, any of those golf courses?
Point Grey holds the Cantor event, typically, when it comes out, because it's, like, it's on that level, but I don't know. PGA Tour.
So it really is just Shaughnessy is really the only golf club that can.
The Yardies just really isn't there though. Like, I mean, I don't know if they'd go to Northview and stretch it or what they would do.
That's the one thing that I know we've talked about this a lot this summer, Parks. Obviously, I'm new to Vancouver, but like Vancouver or lower mainland area doesn't have a lot of length in any of their golf courses. You don't have enough space to like stretch things out, which is a bit of a shame because you end up having a lot of holes where it's a little dog leggy or it takes driver out of your hand. And it's like, that's a space issue, not a golf course or a golf course design issue. It's just like, you don't have enough space to.
Yeah.
That's why
yeah.
Like, there, you go out
is
to
there
Surrey
anything across the river, like in Richmond, that's anywhere that area? Nothing?
Okay. Nope.
No. Not nothing. Championship level.
Nothing big enough. Kings Links could be stretched. It's kind of in Tawasin area. It's obviously open links style golf course. It's not really a fantastic venue, but I mean, they could reno it and do something with it because they have property out there. But I don't know.
Fraser,
this is a good conversation for another pod, though.
Fraserview might be the course. Really?
Fraserview
could be the Vancouver golf course. Really? Like, you could stretch it out longer. It's really the only good test if you made it longer.
Yeah, if you made it longer. Par fives are way too short.
Yeah,
like your hitting driver mid iron, low iron into all par fives that's not a par five.
Yeah,
I've just been on mute.
No championship high performance. Oh, sorry, Tom. Go.
No, it's okay. I just have been on mute, wondering why you guys have been ignoring me. Right? And I'm like, what's going on? Like, you guys, I got something here, and you're just like, keep going. Does anybody know anything about Mickelson National?
No, little
haven't
bit.
Been, but no, apparently
one
it's
of our
mint.
Future guests was
Natasha.
CEO. Yeah. With Clint Thistle, but I know a little bit. Obviously, like they took the Magna approach and, you know, let's make it exclusive. And then obviously the economy, oil pricing kind of went a little rough, we'll call it, kind of hurt. I think that scene. But I know a couple of people that played it. They say it's a pretty cool property.
7,400 yards from the tips.
Yeah, you could do it there. I mean, Quarry is 76, but like Mixon National might be the culprit. Yeah, the course. You're right.
I would love to see in you know, it's probably too short, but something out in Banff, you know, could you get Banff to 7,000, 7,300? Just that backdrop. I know that's a big push, but
yeah. I like
you know, where you're there or Jasper Park or
maybe you know, Kananaskis, they could do something.
They could.
Like Pritis has the women, right? Pritis is only held, you know. It's shorter.
It's shorter. There's a lot of big elevation changes, and that just kills the yardages too at Pritis. Like the first hole, you could hit hybrid on the green.
But is there room at Banff? Like, could you lengthen Banff?
You just have to
with money.
Cut a bunch of trees down.
You can't though. Yeah. It's national park.
Right. Yeah. But if you wanted to renovate, you would have to do that to get space. That's it.
You'd be very cool bass, regardless.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you could also go down to Lethbridge, and I'm sure you could find something down there too. But or Mason Hat area. But that's another story.
So we'll just keep all the national championships in mind.
I guess out east, yeah. Except for Shaughnessy until it's gone. But unfortunately, we don't have that yet. Oh, that's okay. Sorry, that's a quick question. Then we can kind of close it out. This is the one question I want to know about the Opens this year because they weren't held. So does Shaughnessy get it next year? And does St. George's get it this or next year as well? Are they carrying it over?
Yeah, I think it just holds in the calendar.
Okay, because I wasn't sure about that. I was talking about that with some other guy the other day. I'm like, is this going to carry over, or these other courses have got to get ready for it?
I think St. George's will pass. If it doesn't come next year, I think the amount of money they have to spend at the start of the year to prep to be told no. Mm-hmm. I think if they don't get it next year, I think they'll take a pass on it. That's what I'm hearing in a few of the members.
Mm-hmm.
It's a logistical nightmare. Like, they use other golf courses for the range. Like, they use Islington, which is a great Stanley Thompson, but they use the first and 10th hole as the driving range. It's a logistical nightmare, even though it comes to that golf course.
What a wicked thing to say. Be like, nah, we don't want to hold the Open.
Nah.
Yeah.
There's one golf course in the country that could say that. It's St. George's.
So. There you go.
That's sweet. Okay, well, we are moving into the playoffs next week, starting with the Northern Trust, then BMW, and then Tour Championship. And then I think you got a week off and then right into the Ryder Cup. I don't even know if you have a week, to be honest. It's a crazy time for golf coming up here, guys. We got to buckle down and get ready for it. And then we're into the silly season, my favorite time of the year, into the fall series events. We'll start with the Safeway, which is always just that treat, isn't it? Hopefully Stu Sink can take down another one. Yeah, I don't know. I'm excited to start the playoffs next week. And I guess we'll meet back here next week and we'll dissect it. Anything else you guys like to cover?
Good to see you boys today. That's all I got to say.
Always
a pleasure. Safe alarms. You are a good putter. You are a good hybrid player. You are the best barefoot golfer on the planet. I tried it. I told you guys I played two holes in my barefoot at Red Tail. So.
It's a beautiful thing, honestly. Like, if you haven't done it, Four Jack listeners, go out and do it. It is phenomenal.
It is lovely.
I got a challenge for the boys here. Why don't we all create an alarm this week? We post it to our Instagram. We'll share it on the Four Jack podcast. What our alarm ends up being. Whenever you get to it, sometime this week before the next pod, and we'll have a little debrief on our alarms.
Sweet.
I like that.
Build your mantras this week, folks.
There we go.
All you gotta do.
Positive affirmations.
Yeah.
Mercury is in retrograde. Just remember that, folks. No, I don't even know where it is, but that's what that feels like.
I love it. Okay, boys. Thank you. And thank you, everybody, for listening. And we will chat with you guys next week after the Northern Trust. Bye-bye.